14. Hacking, The Art of Exploitation. By John Erickson. Books.Kim, free summaries of best-selling books. Download PDF and MP3 versions of the summary from www.books.kim. The latest effective learning methodology has been utilized to construct the summary, ensuring that you can easily retain the key takeaways. The technique involves a great deal of repetition and rephrasing, which have been proven to be highly effective when it comes to information retention. In fact, this is the same approach employed in memorizing poems. Our objective is to not only help you comprehend the most significant concepts, but also enable you to recall and apply them in your daily life. Summary. Hacking, The Art of Exploitation, by John Erickson, is a comprehensive guide to the art and science of computer security. It covers topics such as network security, cryptography, programming languages, operating systems, and more. The book provides an in-depth look at how hackers exploit weaknesses in computer systems to gain access or cause damage. It also explains the tools and techniques used by hackers to break into networks and steal data. The book begins with an introduction to hacking concepts such as social engineering, buffer overflows, and rootkits. It then moves on to discuss various types of attacks, including denial of service, DOS, attacks, SQL injection attacks, and cross-site scripting, XSS. In addition, it covers topics like reverse engineering malware for analysis purposes. The second part of the book focuses on defensive measures that can be taken against malicious attackers. This includes firewalls, intrusion detection systems, IDS, honeypots, and virtual private networks, VPNs. Additionally, it discusses methods for detecting intrusions using log files or system monitoring software. The third section looks at ways that hackers can use their skills for good rather than evil. This includes ethical hacking techniques which are used by companies to test their own security measures before they go live online. Finally, there is a chapter devoted entirely to writing secure code which will help developers create applications that are less vulnerable to attack. Overall, Hacking, The Art of Exploitation is an excellent resource for anyone interested in learning about computer security from both offensive and defensive perspectives. With its clear explanations of complex topics, it makes a great starting point for those new to this field while still providing enough depth for experienced professionals. Main ideas. Main idea number 1. Buffer overflows. A buffer overflow occurs when a program attempts to store more data in a buffer than it was intended to hold. This can cause the program to crash or even allow malicious code to be executed. Main idea number 2. Network security. Network security is an important part of protecting a system from malicious attacks. It involves using firewalls, encryption, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. Main idea number 3. Reverse engineering. Reverse engineering is the process of taking apart a program or system to understand how it works and to identify potential vulnerabilities. Main idea number 4. Exploitation. Exploitation is the process of taking advantage of a vulnerability in a system or program to gain access to data or execute malicious code. Main idea number 5. Shellcode. Shellcode is a type of code that is used to exploit a vulnerability in a system or program. It is usually written in assembly language and is designed to be injected into a program or system. Main idea number 6. Assembly language. Assembly language is a low-level programming language that is used to write programs and exploit vulnerabilities. It is often used in conjunction with shellcode to exploit a vulnerability. Main idea number 7. Debugging. Debugging is the process of finding and fixing errors in a program or system. It is an important part of the process of exploiting a vulnerability. Main idea number 8. Cryptography. Cryptography is the process of using encryption to protect data from unauthorized access. It is an important part of network security and can be used to protect data from malicious attacks. Main idea number 9. Network sniffing. Network sniffing is the process of intercepting and analyzing network traffic. It can be used to identify potential vulnerabilities in a system or program. Main idea number 10. Social engineering. Social engineering is the process of manipulating people into revealing confidential information or performing actions that can be used to gain access to a system or program. Main idea number 11. Malware. Malware is a type of malicious software that is designed to exploit a vulnerability in a system or program. It can be used to gain access to data or execute malicious code. Main idea number 12. Rootkits. Rootkits are a type of malicious software that is designed to hide itself from detection. It can be used to gain access to a system or program and execute malicious code. Main idea number 13. Exploit development. Exploit development is the process of creating a program or script that can be used to exploit a vulnerability in a system or program. Main idea number 14. Reverse engineering tools. Reverse engineering tools are used to analyze a program or system to identify potential vulnerabilities. They can be used to create exploits or to analyze malware. Main idea number 15. Fuzzing. Fuzzing is the process of sending random data to a program or system to identify potential vulnerabilities. It can be used to identify potential exploits or to analyze malware. Main idea number 16. Web application security. Web application security is the process of protecting web applications from malicious attacks. It involves using secure coding practices, encryption, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. Main idea number 17. Wireless security. Wireless security is the process of protecting wireless networks from malicious attacks. It involves using encryption, authentication, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. Main idea number 18. Network forensics. Network forensics is the process of analyzing network traffic to identify potential malicious activity. It can be used to identify potential exploits or to analyze malware. Main idea number 19. Penetration testing. Penetration testing is the process of testing a system or program for vulnerabilities. It can be used to identify potential exploits or to analyze malware. Main idea number 20. Reverse engineering malware. Reverse engineering malware is the process of analyzing malware to identify its purpose and potential vulnerabilities. It can be used to identify potential exploits or to analyze malware. Main ideas expanded. Main idea number 1. Buffer overflows are a common type of security vulnerability that can be exploited by malicious actors. When a program attempts to store more data in a buffer than it was intended to hold, the extra data can overwrite other parts of memory and corrupt or disrupt the normal operation of the program. This can cause the program to crash or even allow malicious code to be executed. The most common way for attackers to exploit buffer overflow vulnerabilities is through input validation attacks. Attackers will send specially crafted inputs that contain more data than expected, which causes the vulnerable application's buffers to overflow and allows them access into areas of memory they should not have access to. From there, they may be able to execute arbitrary code on the system or gain privileged access. To prevent buffer overflows from occurring, developers must ensure their applications properly validate user input before processing it. Input validation techniques such as length checks and character filtering can help protect against these types of attacks. Main idea number 2. Network security is a critical component of any system's defense against malicious attacks. It involves the use of firewalls, encryption, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. Firewalls are used to block incoming traffic that may contain malicious code or be attempting to gain access to sensitive information. Encryption is used to scramble data so that it cannot be read by anyone without the proper key. Other techniques such as authentication protocols can also be employed in order to verify users before allowing them access. In addition, network security must also include measures for detecting intrusions and responding appropriately when they occur. Intrusion detection systems, IDS, monitor networks for suspicious activity and alert administrators if an attack is detected. Response plans should also be developed in advance so that appropriate action can be taken quickly when an intrusion occurs. Finally, regular maintenance should also form part of any network security plan. This includes patching software regularly with the latest updates, monitoring logs for unusual activity, and performing vulnerability scans on a regular basis. Main idea number 3. Reverse engineering is a powerful tool for understanding how systems work and identifying potential vulnerabilities. It involves taking apart a program or system to understand its inner workings, including the code, data structures, algorithms, and other components that make up the system. By analyzing these components in detail, security researchers can identify weaknesses that could be exploited by malicious actors. Reverse engineering also allows developers to create better software by learning from existing programs and improving upon them. The process of reverse engineering begins with obtaining access to the source code of a program or system. This can be done through legal means such as purchasing it from the developer or illegally downloading it from an online repository. Once obtained, the code must then be analyzed line by line in order to gain an understanding of how it works and what potential vulnerabilities exist within it. This analysis may involve using debugging tools such as debuggers or disassemblers, which allow users to step through each instruction in order to observe its effects on memory locations and registers. Once any potential vulnerabilities have been identified, they must then be tested against real-world scenarios in order to determine if they are exploitable or not. If successful exploitation is possible, then steps should be taken immediately to patch any vulnerable areas before malicious actors can take advantage of them. Main idea number 4. Exploitation is a powerful tool used by hackers to gain access to data or execute malicious code. It involves taking advantage of vulnerabilities in systems and programs, such as security flaws, misconfigurations, or other weaknesses that can be exploited. Exploiting these vulnerabilities allows the hacker to bypass authentication measures and gain access to sensitive information or resources. The process of exploiting a vulnerability typically begins with reconnaissance, gathering information about the target system. This includes identifying potential attack vectors, such as open ports or services running on the system. Once an exploitable vulnerability has been identified, the hacker will then craft an exploit tailored specifically for that vulnerability. The exploit may involve sending specially crafted packets over a network connection or executing malicious code on the vulnerable system. Once successful exploitation has occurred, it is possible for attackers to take control of systems and networks remotely without any physical presence required at all. They can also use exploits to install backdoors into systems which allow them continued access even after security patches have been applied. Main idea number 5. Shellcode is a type of code that is used to exploit a vulnerability in a system or program. It is usually written in assembly language and consists of instructions that are designed to be injected into the target program or system. The purpose of shellcode is to provide an attacker with access to the vulnerable system, allowing them to gain control over it and potentially execute malicious commands. The most common way for attackers to inject shellcode into a vulnerable system is through buffer overflow attacks. In this type of attack, an attacker sends more data than the application can handle, causing it to overwrite other parts of memory with their own malicious code. This allows them to gain control over the vulnerable system by executing their own commands. Once inside the target system, shellcode can be used for various purposes such as creating backdoors, escalating privileges, stealing data, or launching distributed denial-of-service (DDoS) attacks. As such, it has become one of the most popular tools among hackers looking for ways to compromise systems. Main idea number 6. Assembly language is a low-level programming language that provides the programmer with direct access to the computer's hardware. It is used to write programs and exploit vulnerabilities, as it allows for precise control over memory locations and instructions. Assembly language can be used in conjunction with shellcode, which is code written in assembly language that exploits a vulnerability. This type of code can be injected into an application or system to gain access or execute malicious commands. The advantage of using assembly language when exploiting vulnerabilities is that it gives the hacker more control over how they interact with the target system. By writing their own code, hackers are able to bypass security measures such as firewalls and antivirus software. Additionally, since assembly language operates at a lower level than other languages like C++ or Java, it can provide greater flexibility when manipulating data structures and registers. Assembly language has been around for decades and continues to be one of the most popular tools among hackers today due to its versatility and power. With its ability to directly manipulate memory locations and instructions, assembly language remains an invaluable tool for those looking to exploit vulnerabilities. Main idea number 7. Debugging is an essential part of the process of exploiting a vulnerability. It involves finding and fixing errors in a program or system, so that it can be used to its fullest potential. Debugging requires patience and attention to detail, as well as knowledge of programming languages and computer systems. The goal is to identify the source of any problems, then fix them quickly and efficiently. The debugging process typically begins with identifying what type of error has occurred. This could include syntax errors, logic errors, runtime errors, or other types of bugs. Once the type of error has been identified, the programmer must determine how best to address it. This may involve making changes to code or configuration settings in order to resolve the issue. Once a bug has been fixed, it's important for programmers to test their work thoroughly before releasing it into production environments. Testing helps ensure that all issues have been addressed properly and that no new ones have been introduced during debugging. Main idea number 8. Cryptography is a powerful tool for protecting data from unauthorized access. It involves the use of encryption algorithms to scramble data so that it can only be decrypted by those with the correct key. This makes it difficult for malicious actors to gain access to sensitive information, as they would need to have knowledge of the encryption algorithm and its associated key in order to decrypt the data. Cryptography also provides authentication mechanisms which allow users or systems to verify each other's identity before exchanging messages or files. This helps prevent man-in-the-middle attacks, where an attacker intercepts communications between two parties and attempts to impersonate one of them. In addition, cryptography can be used for digital signatures which provide proof that a message was sent by a particular user or system. Digital signatures are important for ensuring non-repudiation, meaning that someone cannot deny having sent a message after it has been signed. Main idea number 9. Network sniffing is a powerful tool for security professionals and hackers alike. It allows them to monitor the traffic on a network, identify potential vulnerabilities, and even gain access to sensitive information. Network sniffing works by intercepting packets of data that are sent over the network. The packets can then be analyzed in order to determine what type of data is being transmitted, where it's coming from, and who it's going to. This information can then be used to exploit any weaknesses or vulnerabilities in the system. Network sniffers come in many forms, including hardware devices such as packet analyzers or software programs like Wireshark. These tools allow users to capture all types of network traffic, including email messages, web requests, file transfers, etc., which can then be examined for malicious activity or other suspicious behavior. By analyzing this data carefully, security professionals can detect intrusions before they become serious threats. In addition to detecting malicious activity on networks, network sniffers also provide valuable insight into how systems work and how they interact with each other. For example, if an organization wants to improve its overall security posture, they may use a network sniffer to analyze their existing infrastructure and look for areas where improvements could be made. Main idea number 10. Social engineering is a form of hacking that relies on psychological manipulation rather than technical expertise. It involves using deception, influence, and persuasion to gain access to confidential information or resources. Social engineers use various tactics such as phishing emails, pretexting, creating false identities, and tailgating, following someone into a secure area, in order to gain access to sensitive data or systems. They may also use social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter to gather personal information about their targets. The goal of social engineering is usually financial gain or the acquisition of intellectual property. However, it can also be used for malicious purposes such as identity theft or espionage. Social engineers are often successful because they exploit human weaknesses such as curiosity, trustworthiness, and naivety in order to achieve their goals. Organizations should take steps to protect themselves from social engineering attacks by educating employees about the risks associated with revealing confidential information online or over the phone. Additionally, organizations should implement strong authentication measures such as two-factor authentication when accessing sensitive data. Main idea number 11. Malware is a type of malicious software that can be used to gain access to data or execute malicious code. It works by exploiting vulnerabilities in systems and programs, allowing attackers to gain unauthorized access and control over the system. Malware can come in many forms, such as viruses, worms, trojans, spyware, ransomware, and adware. Each type of malware has its own unique characteristics and methods for attacking a system. Viruses are one of the most common types of malware. They spread from computer to computer through email attachments or downloads from websites. Once on a machine, they can replicate themselves quickly and cause damage by deleting files or corrupting data. Worms are similar to viruses but do not require user interaction, instead, they spread automatically across networks. Trojans are another form of malware which disguise themselves as legitimate applications but contain hidden malicious code that allows attackers to take control of the system remotely without the user's knowledge. Spyware is designed specifically for monitoring users' activities, while ransomware encrypts files until victims pay a ransom fee. Adware is also considered malware because it displays unwanted advertisements on computers without permission from users. All these different types of malware have one thing in common: they all exploit weaknesses in systems or programs so that attackers can gain access and control over them. Main idea number 12. Rootkits are a powerful and dangerous tool in the hands of malicious actors. They can be used to gain access to a system or program without detection, allowing them to execute malicious code that could cause serious damage. Rootkits are often difficult to detect because they use techniques such as hiding files, processes, and registry entries from normal users and administrators. Additionally, rootkits may also modify existing programs on the system in order to hide their presence. Once installed on a system, rootkits can be used for various purposes, including stealing data or passwords, monitoring user activity, launching distributed denial of service, DDoS, attacks against other systems or networks, and even taking control of an entire network. As such, it is important for organizations to take steps towards preventing rootkit infections by implementing security measures such as regularly patching software vulnerabilities and using anti-malware solutions. Main idea number 13. Exploit development is a complex process that requires an understanding of the underlying system or program, as well as knowledge of programming and security. The goal of exploit development is to create a program or script that can be used to take advantage of a vulnerability in order to gain access to data, execute malicious code, or cause other undesired effects. Exploit developers must have an intimate knowledge of the target system and its vulnerabilities in order to craft effective exploits. The first step in exploit development is identifying potential vulnerabilities within the target system. This involves researching known issues with the software, analyzing source code for potential flaws, and using tools such as fuzzers and debuggers to identify unknown weaknesses. Once identified, these vulnerabilities can then be exploited by creating programs or scripts designed specifically for this purpose. Once an exploit has been developed, it must be tested against the target system before being deployed. This testing phase ensures that any bugs are ironed out before deployment so that there are no unexpected results when running on live systems. After successful testing has been completed, the exploit can then be released into production environments where it will hopefully achieve its desired effect. Main idea number 14. Reverse engineering tools are an invaluable resource for security professionals. They allow them to analyze a program or system in order to identify potential vulnerabilities and create exploits that can be used against it. Reverse engineering tools can also be used to analyze malware, allowing security professionals to understand how the malicious code works and develop countermeasures against it. These tools typically involve disassembling the code of a program or system into its individual instructions so that they can be studied more closely. This allows security experts to look for weaknesses in the code which could potentially be exploited by attackers. Additionally, reverse engineering tools may include features such as debugging capabilities, which allow users to step through the execution of a program line by line in order to better understand how it works. Overall, reverse engineering tools provide an important tool for security professionals who need to assess the safety of their systems and networks. By understanding how programs work at a low level, they are able to identify potential flaws before attackers have a chance to exploit them. Main idea number 15. Fuzzing is a powerful tool for identifying potential security vulnerabilities in software and systems. It works by sending random data to the program or system, which can then be analyzed to identify any weaknesses that may exist. Fuzzing can be used to detect buffer overflows, memory corruption, and other types of exploits. It can also be used to analyze malware samples and uncover malicious code hidden within them. The process of fuzzing involves creating a set of test cases that are designed to stress the target application or system. These tests are run repeatedly until all possible inputs have been tested. The results from these tests are then analyzed for any unexpected behavior or errors that could indicate a vulnerability exists. If such behavior is found, further investigation into the cause should take place. Fuzzing is an important part of security testing as it helps identify potential flaws before they become exploited by attackers. By using this technique regularly during development cycles, organizations can ensure their applications remain secure against attack. Main idea number 16. Web application security is an important part of any organization's overall security strategy. It involves using secure coding practices, encryption, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. This includes protecting web applications from malicious attacks such as SQL injection, cross-site scripting, XSS, remote file inclusion, RFI, and denial of service, DOS, attacks. Secure coding practices involve writing code that follows best practices for security. This includes avoiding the use of insecure functions or libraries, validating user input before processing it, sanitizing output to prevent XSS attacks, and using strong authentication methods when necessary. Encryption can be used to protect sensitive data in transit or at rest by scrambling it so that only authorized users can view it. Other techniques include implementing firewalls to block malicious traffic from entering a network, deploying intrusion detection systems to detect suspicious activity, monitoring logs for unusual behavior, patching software regularly, and conducting regular vulnerability scans on web applications. By following these steps, organizations can ensure their web applications are secure against potential threats. Main idea number 17. Wireless security is an important part of protecting any wireless network from malicious attacks. It involves using encryption, authentication, and other techniques to protect data and systems from unauthorized access. Encryption scrambles the data that is sent over a wireless connection so that it cannot be read by anyone who does not have the correct key or password. Authentication ensures that only authorized users can gain access to the network. Other techniques such as firewalls, intrusion detection systems, and virtual private networks, VPNs, are also used to help secure wireless networks. In addition to these technical measures, there are also some best practices for securing a wireless network. These include changing default passwords on routers and other devices, disabling unnecessary services, regularly updating software, monitoring traffic with tools like Wireshark, using strong passwords, enabling two-factor authentication when possible, avoiding public Wi-Fi hotspots whenever possible, and disabling remote administration features unless absolutely necessary. By following these steps, organizations can ensure their wireless networks remain secure against potential threats. Main idea number 18. Network forensics is an important tool for security professionals, as it allows them to identify malicious activity on a network. By analyzing the traffic on a network, they can detect potential exploits or malware that may be present. Network forensics also helps in identifying suspicious behavior and tracking down the source of any malicious activity. It can help organizations protect their networks from attacks by providing detailed information about what happened during an attack. The process of network forensics involves collecting data from various sources such as routers, switches, firewalls, and other devices connected to the network. This data is then analyzed using specialized software tools to identify patterns or anomalies that could indicate malicious activity. Once identified, further investigation can be conducted to determine the exact nature of the threat and how best to respond. Network forensics is becoming increasingly important in today's digital world where cyber threats are constantly evolving and changing. As more organizations move towards cloud-based solutions for their IT infrastructure, it becomes even more critical for them to have effective security measures in place that include robust network forensic capabilities. Main idea number 19. Penetration testing is a critical part of any security strategy. It involves attempting to gain access to systems or networks in order to identify potential vulnerabilities and weaknesses that could be exploited by malicious actors. The goal of penetration testing is not only to find existing vulnerabilities, but also to assess the effectiveness of current security measures and provide recommendations for improvement. The process typically begins with reconnaissance, where testers gather information about the target system or network. This can include gathering public information such as IP addresses, domain names, open ports, etc., as well as more detailed technical data such as operating system versions and installed software packages. Once this initial phase is complete, testers will attempt various techniques designed to exploit identified weaknesses. These techniques may include brute force password cracking attempts, exploiting known software vulnerabilities, using social engineering tactics, or even physical attacks on hardware components. After each attack has been attempted, the results are analyzed and reported back to the organization so they can take appropriate action. Main idea number 20. Reverse engineering malware is a powerful tool for security professionals. It allows them to understand how malicious code works and identify potential vulnerabilities that can be exploited. By understanding the inner workings of malware, they can develop countermeasures to protect their systems from attack. Reverse engineering also helps researchers uncover new techniques used by attackers, which can then be used to improve existing defenses. The process of reverse engineering involves disassembling the code into its component parts and analyzing each part in detail. This includes examining data structures, control flow graphs, and other elements of the program's design. The goal is to gain an understanding of how the code works so that it can be modified or patched if necessary. Reverse engineering malware requires specialized knowledge and experience with programming languages such as C++ or assembly language. It also requires familiarity with debugging tools such as IDEA Pro or OLLIDBG in order to analyze executable files effectively. With these skills, security professionals are able to detect malicious behavior before it causes damage. As we come to the conclusion of this book summary, we would like to express our sincere gratitude for taking the time to read or listen to it. Your feedback means the world to us, so we kindly ask that you rate our summary and share it with others who might benefit from it. Additionally, if you're hungry for more great reads, be sure to check out our website at www.book.kim. Thank you again for your support and happy reading.